Good morning. For a while, we're going to be considering the rule of God. We want to begin in Genesis and follow through to God and His Sovereign with the Christian today. I'd like to begin with a reading from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 28. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, and cattle, and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over everything that moveth upon the earth. We should remember that Genesis 1 was not written to us to answer our 21st century questions. It was written to the earliest Jewish people to address some basic realities. They knew the world existed. They knew life existed. They knew hundreds of years earlier God spoke to their ancestor Abraham and made him promises. They knew they were slaves in Egypt for generations. Was there a connection between the world, life, and the God who spoke to Abraham? If God promised Abraham that his descendants would be a great nation, how did they become slaves in Egypt? Why should they follow God if his promises to Abraham failed? They were not a nation with a country of their own. They were freed slaves in a wilderness with no country. Who is this God who freed them from slavery? The first Hebrew words in Genesis is the in beginning. In English, the first book of the Bible is about beginnings. Its original recipients were the earliest Jewish people. Its objective was to provide them answers to several basic questions. These answers gave these people a sense of identity and connected them with God. What were the questions this book of beginnings answered for those people? Question 1, how did this world begin? Question 2, how did evil begin, exerting influence in God's creation? Question 3, how did the people of Israel begin? Question 4, how did the people of Israel begin living in Egypt? As this book of beginnings addressed each question, it emphasized this fundamental truth. God is the origin of the world, the origin of life, and the origin of Israel. Obviously, Genesis was vital to Israel. Genesis is also vital to Christians. God, who began this world and began Israel, sent Jesus Christ through Israel to recreate all of us. Every person on earth can begin again because God, who created humanity, can recreate us. We who rejected God's sovereignty can become people who honor God's sovereignty. Israel understood who they were in this world only if they understood their connection to God in the beginnings revealed in Genesis' message. Also, Christians understand who we are in this world only if we understand our connection to God and the beginnings revealed in Genesis' message. God originally created from total disorder. God, through creation, brought order and life from chaos. God took utter confusion and disorder and produced orderliness and life. The confusion and disorder of chaos is the opposite of orderliness and life. What God brought into being was the opposite of what was. For order and life to exist, chaos had to cease to exist. A biblical question, why did chaos not defy God when he brought order and life into existence? A biblical answer, chaos did not resist God because he is sovereign, God rules. We need to accept these basic truths. 1. God and the state of chaos are not compatible. 2. God produces order in life, not chaos. And 3. Where God produces order in life, chaos ends. One of the greatest events, creation, to occur is declared briefly, simply, and without much commentary. What would take us volumes to chronicle, Genesis declared in one chapter, composed of only 31 verses in the English, and most of these verses were quite brief. The brevity of Genesis' creation account suggests these two insights. This account had the objective of asserting that God is the source or beginning of beneficial human experience, and did not have the objective of answering all questions we have concerning the events of creation. Often people focus too much on demanding that Genesis answer our 21st century questions concerning creation, and too little on hearing Genesis' message affirming God is the source. God considered the formless void covered with darkness. He ordered light to appear and to be separated from the darkness. The darkness did not defy God. God is sovereign. In each of God's creative acts, the fact is that nothing defied God. Even though chaos had to yield to order, nothing defied God. Even though lifelessness had to yield to life, nothing defied God. God was and is sovereign. God separated the waters into two parts. The expanse that occurred between the waters was the heavens. The waters did not defy God in the separation and the formation of the expanse. You see, God is sovereign. God ordered dry land to appear. It was separated from the waters below the heavens. The dry land was called earth, and the waters below were called seas. Neither the waters nor the dry land defied God. It happened because God is sovereign. God ordered the earth to be filled with vegetation. It happened. Nothing defied God. God is sovereign. God ordered the heavens to be filled with lights. Among them was the sun and moon, the source of light for the earth. It happened. These light sources produce signs, seasons, and measurements for time. Nothing defied God. God is sovereign. God ordered the seas and the skies to be filled with living creatures. It happened. Nothing defied God. God is sovereign. God ordered the earth filled with living creatures. Among them were to be humans made in God's image and likeness. Humans were to exercise dominion over God's creation. It happened. Nothing defied God. God is sovereign. God's evaluation of what he made. God saw that all he had made, and behold, it was very good. Genesis 1:31. God used chaos to bring order and life into existence. Chaos gave way to order and life by God's order and design. In the process, nothing defied God. Why? God is sovereign. God rules. God has a right to rule. God is supreme. Chaos was not good. The formless void covered with darkness was not good. What God created was good. In God's own assessment, it was very good. The sovereign God from the beginning took a formless void covered in darkness that was not good and created something good. Light is compatible with God. Darkness is compatible with evil. Order is compatible with God. Disorder is compatible with evil. Life is compatible with God. Lifelessness is compatible with evil. God took things not compatible with Him, darkness, disorder, and lifelessness, and created things compatible with Him, light, order, and life. How could God do that? Why would darkness, disorder, and lifelessness yield to God? Because God is sovereign. He rules. He is supreme. The first concept of the Bible is God's sovereignty. Nothing is superior to God. Nothing is equal to God. Nothing can rightfully rival God. Nothing can rightfully defy God. The sovereign God is the God of good. He is a source of life and order. He is constructive, not destructive. Not only is He good, but He rejoices in producing good. Recognizing His sovereignty is a good thing that results in good things happening. The final result of yielding to God's sovereignty is very good. Question: humanity is the crowning touch of a very good creation. Then why do humans commonly conclude that yielding to God's sovereignty is bad and not good? Two factors should be considered as we study these lessons. Human arrogance arises from a failure to understand the significance of God's sovereignty and a failure to understand the significance of God's devotion to good. Friends, to bring our lives out of chaos and into order, God tells us to believe in Jesus as the Son of God, Savior of the world, to repent of our sins and give our lives a new direction, to confess the wonderful name of Jesus and to be baptized for the remission of sins. This brings us out of a life of chaos into peace with God, a life that is recreated. If we can help you, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.